One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The sort of headband acts as a sort of microphone. There we go.
I'll do the start.
Yeah. What I meant to say there was that the... Tim's flagship podcast, episode 305, and it's over. It's decided. The long war of attrition that began back in July to find out which team was the best in Scotland, otherwise known as the Cinch Premiership, is all but decided. Celtic are champions. I'm joined by Stephen.
Yes, you are.
And Melly.
Yes.
Sitting the same side every week. I got it wrong.
That was quite a deceptive drop of the shoulder there. I didn't know what to do.
Gave you the eyes. Gave you the eyes, Matt O'Reilly style. It's been decided, Melly. We absolutely pummeled Hearts. Ange said before the game, there's a couple of ways that you can get through that finish line. You can stumble across it or you can bust right through it. Celtic bust right through it.
They did. They bust right through it, and it's one of the better performances we've seen this season, I thought, despite going down with the early goal. I thought Celtic just got the ball back, got in at their stride and just played their football and were brilliant. And it was a great day out, and we've spoke about it this season, like how Ange Postecoglou has brought everything together. We've got our club back. But boys, we've got a trophy back.
Oh yeah, we certainly do.
A thoroughly enjoyable game, and I have to admit that after Hearts scored, after what, 2.5 minutes or something like that, I was already starting to take my notes in. Reuse already tired notion about the script not being followed from the last 2 or 3 weeks that I've been using over and over again. But there was no such worries after that. I said this after the game when we did our At The Match podcast for Patreon. I said that it's very difficult to get worked up about a goal that's so early. That. Yeah. See, when you're at home and you're playing really well, by and large, I think we've been good form for ages. This has been a sustained period of form for months now. Very difficult to get too wound up after that length of time. See, if it had been like 42 minutes or something, we'd went 1-0 down. I would have maybe had a wee slight wobble in it, but after that, the hoops took over.
I still had confidence, to be honest. In fact, I'd put a bet on after Hearts scored for Celtic to be winning by 15 minutes. That's a 10 quid I'll never see again. But it's just an indication of how confident you are in this Celtic team. It's one thing that we've said all along. It's been a couple of weeks, couple of months now, we've said, like, we just have the utmost confidence in this Ange Postecoglou team. They seem to rise to every occasion. They seem to take on every challenge, and the result doesn't necessarily go our way. But I just didn't see any way else we're going to cause an upset on Saturday.
Would you describe them as rising?
I would describe rising to every challenge.
Yeah, this year's all about rising. Celtic, they got in at their stride, but we've seen so many things like this happen this season where Celtic go behind or a team equalises, and I think that was the longest since September we've possibly been down in a game. Usually if we let in a goal, it's pretty an instant reply or we get back in front, but it took quite a while. But being at the game, once it settled down after 10 minutes, but it was just Hearts managed to just keep the ball up at our goal for the first 2.5 minutes and got the goal. But after that, after 10 minutes when Celtic settled into the game, it wasn't like, I didn't feel the crowd getting any nervous at all. It was just a case of, right, this is going to happen. Let's just see when it happens and just wait for it to come.
I think Ellis Sims is a decent player.
He's been good for them. He scored an absolute cracker of a goal. It was against Hibs. He's been very good for them. And I could tell that worried is far too strong a word, but I could tell from the defence's handling of him that he was at least a concern for them. He had been identified as something to think about, because I kept noticing whenever the ball's in the air, now both of our centre-halves are very good in there, but I noticed Starfelt in particular trying to get wee advantages over him, like maybe nudges in the back when he's about to jump for it and stuff like that. So maybe just trying to... paying the respect to his ability in there.
I thought Starfield could have done better for the goal. I thought it was quite... He got caught maybe slightly wrong side. I think the touch off of, was it Liam Boyce?
Yeah.
Sort of threw the Celtic defence off a wee bit. There were shades of maybe offside as well, but I thought Starfield could have been a wee bit stronger in the challenge. It's a good finish, right enough.
I have to admit, I missed it at the game. I missed it at the game because I think... what, the Green Brigade or something were doing something at the time and I turned around and all of a sudden it's gone.
The back of the
I completely missed it. But having seen it back... it was a really good goal, a really well-taken finish. But I think you're right about that touch from Liam Boyce. Whether it was deliberate or not, his wee flick through the defence, I think, caught everyone kind of flat-footed off guard a little bit. And I think if you're going to debate over the offside of that, I don't like that'll come up. That'll come up today.
Yeah, sure,
we're talking about linesman's performances. But I think Starfelt could have been closer to him. He ended up kind of on the wrong side of him entirely. But it was a really good finish, really good taken finish.
Yeah, I think it takes a deflection on the cross and then Liam Boyce does the wee flick round and it's that early in the game, you're not for a finish like that. It was a very good touch and finish from him. It was a wee bit like, remember Larson scored one against Rangers like that where he sort of hits it down on the turn and goes round, but good finish from the guy. But when Hearts got in at that lead, you're like, oh, they could make a game of this today. And when you're looking at their team, they get Sims up front, Liam Boyce, who's given us problems before, another team's problem, and of course this generation's most technically gifted player, and Barry Mackay on the wing. You're expecting a bit more from them up front, but after that, they created absolutely nothing, and it just fell into that same pattern we see every time at Celtic Park these days, where teams just sit in and just hope for the best, and that's all Hearts were doing. I mean, when the referee is shouting at Craig Gordon to hurry up after 10 minutes, you're like, how are you going to get out of here alive?
I've just got a question for Craig Gordon, though. What's the beef? What's the beef? Like, Celtic were good for Craig Gordon.
Yeah.
Craig Gordon was good for Celtic, but he's like moaning as fuck every time he plays us, isn't he?
Is he getting to like Alan McGregor level? Are things okay? Goalkeeping performances?
Do you think it was Edouard Panenka that ruined him?
I think so.
And do you think he just, because he went tonto after that, didn't he?
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. Oh, aye. That was it. That was a talk after that. It was disrespectful. And then ever since he played us, it's like time wasting, arguing. He's fuming every time the ball goes back. Now, admittedly, I only see Craig Gordon when he plays against us.
Yeah.
So this might be Craig Gordon. But every time the ball, he's furious. The goal, the Kyogo goal we'll talk about, which was definitely, and he's furious about that. I mean, fucking hell, Craig, relax.
I know. Settle down, you're at a party.
I know.
You've been invited to a title party.
Do you know, Craig, how many people would pay to be in your position front row?
You're ruining the vibe here, Craig, come on. And you've experienced them as well. I floated this question after the game as well. Is he the most contemptible figure to ever have won a treble for Celtic?
Unbelievable, the guy just can't let it go.
Pain in the arse of a guy. And it was good for Celtic. He was a really good keeper, and he still is, clearly, as the writers seem to emphatically think out there.
Good week for them.
Yeah, I know. We've heard a little bit too much about what the football writers of this country think recently.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, Craig Gordon, what a performance it was from him.
Have you seen Anchorman?
Yeah.
Only less funny,
and
more deeply troubling.
Have a scan across Twitter today for what we may or may not be alluding to there. Craig Gordon, it's hilarious though, like watching him get so upset at these goals. And the thing is, he keeps getting really angry about tap-ins that go through his legs. There's a few things that have happened. Like Kyogo maybe wasn't through his legs; it was in his near post, and then Maida, quite similar. Blame my defense.
I think Maida was through his legs.
It was, definitely was. I don't know if Kyogo's one early in the season was, but have a word with your defense rather than everybody else.
The best thing about that was Andy Walker on Sky commentary. Only does commentary, presumably, because he just answers the call and keeps picking up the phone and he's local and not too hungover to do it, I guess.
He gets the call David Tanner no longer gets.
Yes, he does, yes. David Tanner, favourite of this podcast. People don't wonder why. And there's really no reason.
No, none.
He just gets it. Andy Walker, after every Celtic goal, but quite a lot throughout the game, right? Andy Walker just throw one piece of patter. He goes, you need to be good to beat Craig Gordon as the ball sneaks under his legs. Good guy, some player.
I know, Craig Gordon seems to be a bit of a rewriting of history for him as well. I hope that game at the weekend puts to bed any notion that we should have kept Craig Gordon. We shouldn't have. He was third choice at the time. He was on a decent wage. There was no real future for him at Celtic. Fraser Foster was meant to come back, all that nonsense. But
I don't think the beef either. I think people seem to think Craig Gordon's beef is the fact that Celtic let him go. I don't think that's even up for debate. I think we just let him go. He wanted to go to Hibs and he wouldn't have played for Hearts rather than he wouldn't have played for us anyway.
Yeah, no, he seems to be, like, a lot of people didn't like him at the start because maybe he came up for the corner against Celtic and all that, and he managed to win people over. Now he's going back the way, Craig.
Yeah. So there was a few people on Twitter saying, I wonder if he's going to come up for a corner.
4-1. I wouldn't have been surprised because he was time-wasting it 2-1 down.
Yeah.
He was doing that thing where he was walking across his box to take goal kicks from the other side, that the oldest trick in the book. He was doing that at 2-1 down.
Robbie Nielsen might have told him to do that. Might have been manager instructions, but still, Craig's copping it.
Things change though. See, when you're 2-1 down, I don't know if I don't know if what you were told before the game still necessarily applies. Now, Craig Gordon, we may as well do it just now because we can't drift away from the Craig Gordon thing, but his performance at the, is that the second goal, Kyogo's header, was remarkable, and it has carried on after the game. I don't know if this was said in jest, I don't really care, but he's complaining about the referee's assistant getting the decision right because it's really hard to do that, apparently. I think the phrase
after
was
complaining he didn't get it right with the Kyogo one as well.
Aye, so I think that how can he get that right from 40 yards? That's his sole purpose, is to get decisions right from that. See that line that they run up and down? That's the only place they're allowed to be, so they need to get decisions right from that distance.
And was the Kyogo offside goal not against Hearts? The one everyone was talking about. So we've got a situation here where Craig Gordon miraculously saves the ball when it's already in the back of the net, claws it out, and he's absolutely fuming. He's saying, no way, no way, no way. And according to Craig Gordon, he says the line came out during halftime, went, good call for me there. Yes, it was. And rather than just take him at face value, went, he's bamming me up.
Look, we do a Celtic podcast, and more broadly, we do a football podcast. We talk about decisions made by referees and linesmen and all that all the time. And what we often come back to is that, like, we talk about VAR a lot in this country, even though we don't have VAR, so there's no sense in talking it. And see if that goal hadn't been given, I would have thought, right, it's clearly over the line, but it's in a split second, right? Mm. It's really hard to get that right. So maybe he just didn't see. You've got to be sure to give a goal. So maybe he just wasn't too confident in it. And we would have been sitting here going, aye, do you know what, VAR, we need VAR in this country, but there's no sense in talking about it. But he got it right. He got it right. Yeah. And even if it's by total fluke, that's an incredibly well-made decision. And for Craig Gordon to come out and complain that it was a really well-made decision that still went against them is honestly incredible.
I wasn't, but I mean, Craig Gordon, just be better.
Shut up. Save it, mate.
Save it.
At Hearts, Craig Gordon.
Again, sorry to quote Andy Walker. Need to be good to beat Craig Gordon.
Just the four times and the Matt O'Reilly one that hit the post. Yeah. There was quite a few. He did make a few good saves, Craig Gordon, but it didn't really matter in the end, did it? Because Celtic, well, just flying. Once we got the goal, you just felt, right, we'll get another one before half time and then that'll be us. And the Jota, for the piece of play for the first goal where he burst past the defence and puts it across for Maeda, it was coming. You could feel it coming in the stadium. It just felt, maybe it was a wee bit longer coming than it should have been, but Celtic, Kyogo had a good chance. We had the chances before him. Once we got in front with the Kyogo one, you're like, right, okay, it's party time.
Yeah.
Because this is it. We're not going to surrender our lead because Hearts weren't creating anything despite having decent players on, and they've got injuries in defence, and Craig Gordon's not going to save them forever. And you just felt, right, how many is it going to be the day, boys?
You're right, because the game was another one of those ones where you think, right, well, Hearts could have made it difficult. I was actually, earlier on, I was going to say, it's like really full credit to Celtic for this, because Hearts have been a difficult opponent. Mm-hmm.
There's only been one goal in it every time they've played them.
This season, they've been a very difficult opponent. So in a way, that's probably quite disappointing from them to go and get absolutely hammered with an opportunity with nothing really to play for. But we've seen in the past that teams can often have their competitive edge brought out by that, even if they've got nothing to play for, they might be drawn into the occasion and think, right, well, we can spoil this because we're professionals at the end of the day. But they didn't manage to do that. But it was another one of those games where I was left thinking, it could have been so many more. Craig Gordon did have good saves. There was a couple of really big chances from headers passed up as well. O'Reilly and Kyogo in the first half. Turnbull had a wee kind of poke that Gordon saved as well. Hit the post, it could have been any number of goals in that game, and I don't think Hearts could have had anything to complain about.
Ange mixed up the team a wee bit.
Oh yes, I'm calling for it.
Yeah, it was. You were calling for it. It started with Matt O'Reilly and David Turnbull in midfield. Is probably the main talking point in there.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was good. The movement, it was brilliant from the two of them, and I really like David Turnbull. I think Celtic have missed him. Lucky we got in Hitati in that in January, because could have been a big miss considering he played pretty much every game up till his injury, and just having him back now when it wasn't essential just to fire him in like it was at the start of the season. That just reminds you of what a good player he is. Like 21 years old, he's had a lot of goals, a lot of assists this season, but just his movement and where he picks up the ball. I said this on the at the match after it, and I'm not saying he is this player, but he is.
Here we go. This okay.
He is our version of this player, and it's Kevin De Bruyne. Just the way he plays and where he picks up the ball. I think Turnbull's going to be a really good player for Celtic domestically. Anyway, we'll see if he can make the step up. But just where he picks up the ball and that sort of wide position in the half space, as it's called, I think he's well suited to play in Ange's system and alongside O'Reilly as well. I just thought it brought us a really good balance of creativity, energy, and Mikal McGregor behind him as well, a 9 out of 10 as usual from. I just think going forward that possibly I'd be our best midfield, and I was really pleased to see it. So pity the season's ending next week, but it's looking good for the future.
Time to drop Hatate then, Stephen. Time up.
I think it made sense on the day, and I think dealing with Hatate first as well, I think I didn't ever want to come across like I was really being quite hard on him. I just thought I don't really see the sense in persevering.
See, if you go
with him
really hard on him,
yeah.
See, instead of doing podcasts, he might give a wee bit of after dinner speaking to do it the next day. All right, as a word. Unbelievable.
Astonishing. 2022. Again, feel free to go and search for this. Hatate, I felt even more vindicated in questioning the choice of Hatate, not only because of how Turnbull played, because I thought he was really good, as Melly has already described there, but Hatate was good when he came on as well. Yep. He looked really sharp and really, really dangerous as well. So that it kind of added to my belief that he's going to be really good next season. It's just a case of like getting him right.
Getting him through this cycle.
Exactly. Getting him in the right place to go again next season. And I think it started there. And I think it made sense to take him out. There's been a narrative online concerning whether we have enough recovery speed in midfield if you take Hatate out, because Turnbull and O'Reilly, they're not necessarily seen as the quickest of players. But I don't think that matters because of the level of control we had over midfield. Now, you look at Hearts as well, and yeah, they're not as good a team as Celtic, but they are a decent team. They've done well this season, but they've got dangerous players in there. As much as we laugh at the thing about Barry Mackay being the best, you know, the most gifted teenager of his generation or whatever it was at the time, it's quite a dangerous player. Yeah. Ginelli's very fast as well. They have got dangerous players, but I didn't feel any fear from that whatsoever because of the level of control we had over the game.
It's been a player that did quite good while they came on. I thought James Forrest had a completely new lease of life when he came on. I was quite impressed. You get the feeling that James is probably near the end of his Celtic career, as we spoke about, but that I would be lying if I didn't think that wee cameo gave me pause for thought.
I thought he did well, yeah. It's easy coming on when you're winning in Celtic. We're in full party mode by that time. The three subs we made earlier were good with it, and Celtic sort of needed that wee injection there when Hatate, Abada and Giakoumakis, came on. Yeah. Before we've taken two midfielders out and replaced them, and I don't like doing that at once because it upsets the rhythm of the game, but I thought he got that right, Ange. It was going well, and the subs all played their part. I mean, the last goal by Giakoumakis, I think it's Forrest into Hatate. Hatate has the shot. Abada goes for the rebound. Forrest gets the ball again, crosses it for Giakoumakis. So that's the four players that had been brought on, all played a part in that goal. So it shows you, if we can get everybody fit and firing, as they say, then the squad looks good. And again, you'll Turnbull in for Hatate. And then O'Reilly. I thought O'Reilly was brilliant as well. There's just, we've got a good balance there. And Maeda, Jota, both played their part, both instrumental in the goal. So Celtic are playing well. All their players are playing well. The trophy's coming home. And that thing, like even James Forrest comes on, Hatate comes on, does well. That's what confidence does to you in a winning team. And it just looked good, man. It was just, this is the way it should be, boys. This is the way it should be.
Jota was man of the match. Now, I've got to admit, I wonder if they only gave him that to ask him about the rumours about whether or not he was staying one more time, because I thought Greg Taylor was brilliant again.
Yeah, so did Cal McGregor.
I saw that clip where Cal McGregor, did you see this? Somebody after Sky, when the players were doing their lap of honour,
right?
Somebody panned to Cal McGregor, and you could quite clearly see Cal McGregor saying something along the lines of, they awarded it to Jota. I thought it was you pointing to McGregor, then me, then Jota, which is, and I think that's actually fair enough, but I think, I honestly think, see if the season started a new year, I think Greg Taylor would be in a shout with Celtic player of the year. I mean, apart from Bodo Glint, he's been brilliant in a lot of games. Turned his Instagram comments on.
Sealing the Celtic player of the portion of the year award for this part of the season.
Maybe you get half season tickets. You get half season awards.
Very true.
Like, plenty of clubs just make up awards to give to people. So, you know, like, if you want to give someone best half season, best last quarter, it is Greg Taylor.
Most successful half season left back in the world.
Precisely.
Yeah. No, he's been brilliant. I think he's one of these players, I think maybe like Turnbull as well, where I've made the point before, and I don't want to seem like I'm labouring it or hammering it home. It's there's certain players who come from unfashionable clubs who never really get the kind of plaudits they deserve. I think Greg Taylor's been excellent, and it's kind of one of those things where everyone's just waiting for him to slip up, because he had a poor game against Bodo, and I think everyone jumped on that and thought, right, see, he's easily upgradable and all that kind of stuff. But apart from that, he's been absolutely excellent, and he was key in some of the victories over Rangers that have put us in this position as well. I think he has been a brilliant player this season.
He's one of these players where people say quite easily, you could quite easily improve on the left back, but again, we have tried. Every other left back that's came into the club has been the result of the manager going, okay, let's try and improve on Greg Taylor, and they just don't get in the team. Yeah. So we might try again. We may try again in the summer. In fact, I think we probably will. But Greg Taylor's been honestly a stalwart performer for Celtic the last couple of months.
Yeah, he has, and it just sees when you see that from the turn of the year, it's just a form domestically. It's been sensational. What if we had three draws in there? Two or three draws. Incredible how Celtic have put this run together. And when you look from Hearts was the first game of the season to this game, like it's like a different season. I think we started with Bain, Ralston, Beaton, Welsh, Taylor, McGregor, Sorrow, Turnbull, Forrest, Abada and Edward in that first Hearts game at the start of the season. That's like a team from last season. And now we've got these players, we've signed so many players. Teams come so far, and not just in terms of players, but in terms of performance as well. Guys like Taylor, Ralston have completely turned around their careers, where people are going, we need our left back, we definitely need our right back. These guys, even Turnbull's managed to turn people around. So everybody's done their bit, and it's not just, you can't just say, oh, the manager, he's a good manager, does that, because the players need to do their bit as well. And you can say for every player, look, you're not going to get a game if you don't work hard under Ange. These players all work hard enough, and they all deserve their spots.
Speaking of it being a different team, do you know who one of the fullbacks was the last time Hearts won at Celtic Park in the league?
Montgomery?
Jean-Joel Perrier-Doumbé. 2007.
Oh, last time Hearts won at Celtic?
Apparently
Jesus.
The last time they won in the league at Celtic Park was 2007 with the Cameroonian ace, Jean-Joel Perrier-Doumbé.
Let's talk about Callum McGregor. You mentioned him 9 out of 10. You want to talk about taking responsibility. You want to talk about a captain and a captain's performance. Scott Brown retired just recently. We can talk a wee bit about that later. But the difference and similarities between these two players, Callum McGregor's really stepped up to the mark in terms of like the way he handles himself, the way he carries himself, the standards he wants about the club. But see, on the pitch, he does that captain's job wonderfully, Stephen. He's always looking for the ball. He's always available. When things are glowing slowly, he's the one to take the ball, and he'll gallop up a couple of yards. He'll take a player on. He'll put a tackle in. When we knocked the ball out, I noticed when we knocked the ball out for a corner, we did a clearance and it looked as if things were slacking. He was doing that Scott Brown thing when he's telling everybody to G'ing them up and all that. You watch him, you take a minute to watch Callum McGregor during the game, just, this guy gets it, man. He's absolutely brilliant, and it does go under the radar. And it's just, we've done this podcast for a couple of years with Callum McGregor. You just go, oh, he was brilliant again, wasn't he? And that's all he gets. But that there, you could tell he wanted it. You could tell he was not going to let it slip. And I'd really, really do enjoy, if things start to get a bit rough, just keep an eye on Callum McGregor. He's always available for the ball, always trying to make it happen.
You look at that guy now and what he's doing, and I agree with everything you've just said there. It's actually, I'm finding it difficult to come up with fresh things to say about Callum McGregor. He's been so good this season, and he embodies everything.
When was the last time we criticised Callum McGregor?
Well,
on this podcast.
That was going to be a wider point I was going to make there. It seems almost quite reductive to say a player gets it, but that is true. Added into how good he is as a footballer as well. And you think, I mean, we've been going a long time. We've been doing this podcast for a very long time.
Too long.
That was a race to get that in there. Seven years, as the number above Melly's shoulder says. We started off this podcast basically thinking that guy's never going to make it. Yeah. That guy's never a Celtic player in a million years. Because remember, he was a kind of
white winger?
He was like a winger. Like
attack
a kind of,
midfielder left on the side.
Quite ordinary winger. He'd been away at Notts County at the time and done quite well there. But in Dyla's team, just looking at him thinking, no chance, absolutely no way. Look at him compared to Tierney, there's no way he's making it. And look at him now, just 7 short years later. And like that, 7 years later, he's the Celtic captain.
People pulling us up with things he said about Cal McGregor nearly a decade ago.
This year. he's remarkable. What a player. Just again, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago. I'm just so glad he's still here. So good, because after last season, he admitted himself, easiest thing in the world to just up sticks and think, I'm getting out of this.
And you wouldn't have blamed him?
I wouldn't have blamed anyone for getting out of that black hole of last season. Mm. So, full credit to him. Absolutely tremendous player.
I thought he was brilliant again. And as you say, look, when the chips are down, he's the man that will sort of pick Celtic up. He's not that sort of guy like Scott Brown where he'll fly through a tackle. But in this day and age, it's better having, if the players know there's somebody there that no matter what happens, more than likely he'll be available for the ball. That just puts everybody else at ease, because you're like, if MD's having a bad game or worrying, you can go, just give it to Callum, he'll sort it. And you see him, there was a point in the game where Turnbull was talking to somebody, and Turnbull's just back in, so he's not played with a lot of these players. I think it was Maeda, Turnbull and somebody, and McGregor came over and was pointing, so he knows exactly what the manager wants. He knows the instructions. I've seen it so many times from games where he's pointing at people, telling them, you be here, you be here, all that sort of thing. He's telling people to calm down if things are going wrong. He's just everything that embodies a modern-day captain now. Yeah. And the best thing of all is he's really good at football. That can be forgotten Andy sometimes, because you can... Now we were talking about Callum McGregor, the captain, but just Callum McGregor, the footballer, he's a pleasure to watch, because the way he goes on the ball and turns on it is brilliant, and you just love a team full of them. If anything, we could do one or two of them in the field, but he's just that good, he could play anywhere. And one thing I did notice at the game is, because Callum McGregor's so good, kind of makes the rest of the players passing sometimes, you can see for what it is. With that back line, I think Greg Taylor's quite good at it, but with Ralston, Carter, Vickers, and Starfelt, with Callum McGregor in front of him, he can find these passes. But with the others, I think we just need a bit better footballers back there, because there was at least 2, maybe 3 times in the first half where Kyogo was raging because he'd made runs in behind that a simple ball over or round, he'd have been through, and he was throwing his hands up. And I think you've said it before, Jamie, some of the players just aren't on his wavelength now. And
but I think that'll, I think that'll come.
Somebody better. I don't know if you're going to get Starfelt. I think he's a great defender, but is he going to be able to play balls on his right foot?
Certainly not all the way through the centre halves, but I do think, I did think in that game as well, like, they seem to be a wee bit out of practice, no use to what Kyogo was doing, no spotting what Kyogo was looking for, because like you say, he did get quite frustrated. He ended up getting a goal.
Yep.
And he came off steam for Giakoumakis. I said a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, or maybe it was last week, that I like Giakoumakis. Like, I'm happy to accept that Kyogo's the better footballer, right?
I'm sensing a t-shirt opportunity right here. It's a merch opportunity. I like Giakoumakis.
But I do like Giakoumakis. He scored 10 goals in the league, 19 appearances, but some of those were obviously sub-appearances. He's managing a goal per 94 minutes. He's almost a goal every 90 minutes in a Celtic shirt in the league. That was another player there was questions about when we brought him in. We were like, look, who's this guy? This COVID season.
He feels
season.
Like a January signing, but doesn't he?
Aye. Well, yeah, because he's like, we brought him in last season. We had the concerns about the Dutch league. We had the concerns about the fact that that was his one and only season he'd done this sort of thing. But he's come into Celtic. And guy, Stephen.
Well, he's recovered from having a non-existent first half of the season. Mm. And that was ramped up by the fact that we really needed them. Really needed them around the time where we were again playing. We spoke about this, Abada and Montgomery and Juranovic up front and all that. We didn't have a striker. Kyogo was injured. It was before Maeda had come to the club. And we're thinking, what is this guy for? We've signed this centre forward who's banged him in Netherlands and he's just not available. And then he comes in and misses that penalty against Livingston. Everybody's like, oh,
what have we got?
It's just absolute do. Super dirty. Turned around and delivered what, I mean, if he's going to be the, you know, quote unquote second choice to Kyogo and pulling in 10 goals in 19 appearances, that's exactly what you want from your squad members. And I think he's been absolutely. We've missed him at several points this season. It's just a shame he couldn't have got fit earlier, because I was, during that period when I was talking about, just starting to wonder why we even bothered signing him. I think it was like 2.6 million or something. I'm like, well, aye, that's a bargain, but he's not playing. It's not worth anything at this point. But just all the makings of not only a really good cult figure at Celtic, because he's the kind of guy you get behind, and he's the kind of character you get behind. But also just a really good player.
Yep.
He's just really good, and he's been. I was thinking about this as well. Kyogo has had a lot of the attention this season because he's the top scorer. I think he's 18 goals now, despite the fact he missed the guts of it as well. Look at even Maida's got like 8 goals now or something. He only joined in January, so we've got these guys that have contributed massively that didn't. They've just come in and hit the ground running. Apart from injuries, like Giakoumakis had injury problems, but when he has been available, he's been delivering pretty much constantly. Apart from the penalty, of course, but you know, less said about that, the better.
Both same amount of goals in the league, Kyogo and Giakoumakis.
Oh, so there could be a shootout of the last two games. Yeah. And that's the thing, like Celtic, like Kyogo was this great goal scorer at the start of the season, but injuries sort of curtailed that. But when you look across the Celtic team, everybody's sort of into double figures for the goals and assists and all that. It's not like that 30 goal a season striker who you're hanging your hat on, because like Abada's banged him in, but he's not a regular every single week. Turnbull was playing well, scoring goals, but he's not a regular after getting injured. Tom Rogic comes in, gets goals, assists, drops out. Maeda's come in, Giakoumakis has come in. Celtic's front line and midfielders have all scored goals. Matt O'Reilly seems to be getting in a lot of good positions now as well. And
Sorry to jump in, but when you said about Giakoumakis, seems like a January signing for me. Matt O'Reilly seems like a player that's been here since the beginning.
I think the weekend there just look absolute class. And that's another one. 21, this guy's going to be brilliant for us, even into next season when he's fully settled in. But when I was talking about the players and the goals being shared about, that's not just by chance. That's because Celtic are creating a lot of chances and the players know what they're doing. They know where they should be. If Abada's not playing well, he comes out and Maeda comes in, he's scoring at the same sort of rate as Abada was. It's not just luck or anything like that. Celtic are creating chances and making chances because everybody knows what they're doing, everybody knows where they should be, and everybody's following the instructions, and that is good enough to beat a lot of teams, including Hearts and Craig Gordon somehow.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Summer is here, the sun is shining, the shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard that right. Your friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your beach balls are as smooth as Floridian sand. In summer, you want to kill some cold beers and barbecues, not kill the vibes with pubes peeking out from underneath your swimming trunks. That's why Manscaped has a Performance Package 4.0 to keep the party in your pants looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. Dive headfirst into summer by joining the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and get ready for hot guy summer. By going to manscaped.com/Tims for 20% off and free shipping. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything you need to prepare that summer body. Inside this package, you'll find a lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Stephen, what else could you possibly want?
Well, you could explain exactly what that product is. The Lawnmower 4.0, that's just a ball sack trimmer.
That's exactly
your,
what it is.
From your podcast mates. And yeah, crack on.
There's no other way to put it, Stephen. That's exactly what it is. It's just a ball sack trimmer from your podcast mates. And if you go to manscaped.com/Tims, you get 20% off with free shipping. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package with Manscaped.
It's good being in this position, isn't it? We basically just get to sit here and list Celtic players and talk about how good they've been all season. Matt O'Reilly's another one. Matt O'Reilly has, he's been in and out recently, but since he's come to the club, you're right, it just seems like he's been here for years. And it's good that you bring up his age. He's 21 years old and he's already getting a little bit of international recognition, albeit under 21 level for Denmark. In with a shout of probably being at a World Cup now. But he's 21 years old, and new signings like that often aren't given the same allowances that younger players do.
Yeah.
So because, like, I mean, he cost absolutely buttons. 1.5 million is outrageous for him. And I remember sitting here talking about how cheap Hatate was, but O'Reilly's that 1.5 million. But his age is, well, remarkable in that we talk about, you know, Abada is a new signing, but Abada, you know, leave off him. He's just a young boy. Stephen Welsh is just a young boy. Hatate's really young, even though he's 24. But no one, it doesn't even enter anyone's head to say that about O'Reilly, because he's such a such a composed figure. He looks like a 27 year old midfielder out there just patrolling, just
looks
bossing
like
the place.
Sexy boy.
He is a sexy boy.
heartbreak kid. This Celtic social media put him. The thing with O'Reilly as well is when we think back to December time, we're like, we need players in. It gets to January, and then you've got Riley McGree just basically about to sign for Celtic. He doesn't sign, and you're going, oh, he picked Middlesbrough over Celtic, disaster. Then we go and get in this guy who's better. It's just things seem to work out for us.
See, the thing about Celtic social media, right? It's, they treat it as a novelty that young athletes or younger male athletes are good looking. You know what I mean? It's like, he's no bad, isn't he? And then they sort of meme around it, then they do the thing about Jota. They're all healthy, wealthy, and they're very young. Do you know what I mean? The majority of them are good looking boys.
Don't do it with the ladies team. We're there. No. Love to see that. Love to see the reaction to that.
No, there's been enough of that. There's been enough of that as of late. He managed to get himself in the score sheet. Matt O'Reilly as well. Good take, good finish. You have to be good to beat Craig Gordon.
Oh, you do. And to beat him with a trundle at that is...
right under his hand, about 3 miles an hour.
It was a great finish right in the corner. And like, his performance deserved that. And I think John Paul mentioned it on the match that he'll probably be personally a wee bit disappointed he's not got more goals. He got his first goal against Aberdeen, and it was a deflection that really took it in. But he sort of came into it now where he's getting into good positions. If he can get himself finishing better, he'll be into double figures for goals next season easily, because he's good enough. And I think coming towards the end of the season, this was a nice wee timely reminder that, wait a minute, we've got a player on our hands here.
Neil Bitton never got on the pitch, which I was quite surprised at. There was some social media stuff after the game, Stephen, that he was posting up the looks if he was leaving. Then it was actually, I don't know how nobody else picked up on this, but there was actually an interview that he gave to an Israeli radio station, I think back in April or maybe February, even earlier than that, where he says he's probably going to leave at the end of the season. No room for emotion, obviously. And Ange Postecoglou, I know we've got another home game, but it was just the fact that he posted the social media stuff as if that's the last time he's ever going to be at Celtic Park. I don't know what's going on. You going to miss him?
Are we Jesse Lingard and him here? Have you seen that controversy?
No, what's that?
It's Jesse Lingard's brother has been cracking up on social media about how Jesse didn't get a send-off at Old Trafford. Did anyone even remember he's still there?
J-Lings?
Yeah, J-Lings. Yeah. So all we need is Neil Beaton's brother cracking up at the club on social media.
I'm just making the assumption that he's not going to get anywhere near Celtic Park for the trophy celebrations, because it was one game to go and he's on the pitch posting goodbyes and getting photos taken and all that.
Yeah, it's it's time for Nearby Tone. He's been a good player for Celtic.
He's been a plate. Look, you don't want to discredit the guy. Look, I'll let you say what you want to say.
Look, he has been a Celtic player. Right? No denying it. He has been a Celtic player.
He has been a very, very Celtic player.
Yes, for a very, very long time, yeah. He has been a Celtic player. He has contributed. He's done well in parts. I think there's a lot of goodwill for Nearby Tone because he's been there for a long time. But I think, to me, it has come across as a bit of an overcorrection to the point where he's considered this really cool head, the guy who can come on and take control of games. And he is capable of that on occasion, but a lot of the rest of the time he is very, very unreliable indeed. And you can't just rewrite history because he's quite a popular guy and he's pals with other players and all that. He has been a liability at times at Celtic Park. And I don't want to make this like the eulogy of him. By the way, he was a total nightmare because he played a lot under Ronnie Dyler and he played a lot in the Invincible treble season as well. So he has contributed. But it's time for a lot of these guys. I think when it comes to the last year of a contract, which I think next year is for Nearby Tone, once you're getting to like 30, 31, we've still got him when he's like 31, 32. Mm. If we keep him for another season, you don't extend for me. So if there's an opportunity for him to either just go somewhere else, or he's been in Scotland for a long time, as much as we're joking about that, he is a foreign player who maybe quite fancies going home at some point. I'm perfectly happy to just let him go.
He's been, I suppose, a near bit on defender might say, look, he's a guy who's never kicked up
a defender.
No, he's not a defender. Well done. He's a guy that's never kicked up a fuss. He's came in, worked hard, trained every single day, so much so that numerous managers have decided to keep him about. Although they haven't seen a starting 11 place for him, anytime the bat signal goes up and he needs to get stripped and get ready to come on, he comes on.
The bat mitzvah signal.
Well done, there you go. He gets stripped, ready to come on, and he plays his part and he contributes. I suppose that's what someone that wants to defend Nearby Tone might say.
Yeah, possibly. Like, he's a squad player, isn't he? I don't think he's ever been...
Did the Celtic website not call him a utility man when he signed a new contract? I've got a vague recollection of
called
that.
Called a tatty that when he signed, I'm
did
sure.
It sounds a bit of disparaging, isn't it? Being called a utility man.
I get that, but because he was a midfielder when he came, and like trials with Man City and all that, so you could see, well, maybe this guy's going to be something, but he never quite done it. He came into it a bit towards the end of Dyler, but that was a really poor time for Celtic. Yeah. And then, as Stephen said, when Rodgers first came in, he started to play, and then just as soon as Stuart Armstrong broke through in November, he's never really got his place back. So I can't really, despite him being here for 9 years, and if he's been here 9 years, he's obviously got a lot of contract extensions, so managers have seen like he can do a job, but I've never really seen him anything more than that. He never had a season where I can go, remember that season Beaton was great. Or
I mean, it became a meme on this podcast, didn't it, about the recurring appearances in the Champions League qualifiers. That was near Beaton's role at Celtic.
And that's what's going to hinder him, but at the end of the day as well with that, look, he was getting played at centre-half. It's not as if Celtic had a position for him in midfield where they had to take him out of that to put him at centre-half. He get put there because he wasn't playing in midfield. It's only this season he's went back to that after maybe 3 or 4 years of any time he did play for Celtic, it was centre-half. Look, fair play to the guy, he's been here. He's probably given his all. He's been a decent squad player, but I don't think he's ever been or was ever going to be anything more than that. And look, I'll go with the best wishes. I think this season we've started to see, look, he was a midfielder the whole time. And
who knew?
Probably he did, but sitting in that number six, because Celtic haven't really played that a lot up until this season, I think that's his best position. But he's just a bit too ponderous at times, and when Celtic are playing the way they're playing, doesn't quite fit that. So I think with Beaton, he has been that sort of second choice in there behind McGregor, but we've got McCarthy in a long-term deal, we've got Ediguchi in there, so I think if he wants to go home, fair play to him and best wishes.
I don't know what his options were at any given time while he was at Celtic, but I'm sure he could have found something, which I was amazed when he signed that last contract of his, because I thought, is he going to stay for 9 years and just, or 10 years, it probably would have been if he'd
testimonial
seen the contract out. As a bit part player, surely he could have gone somewhere and got, but I remember thinking,
popular guy in the changing room.
I think his family are all settled here, his kids are at school here, all that sort of stuff.
He's a good example of why I try not to project ambitions onto players, because you don't know what they want in their life. He stayed at Celtic because he was happy here, presumably. He could have gone somewhere and played a lot more.
And there's probably a bit of, as much as people want to think football clubs quite ironic an argument, I suppose, but people sometimes think football clubs should be strictly capitalist businesses that really cutthroat about it. If you've got a guy who's well-liked, who does a job when he's required, who's very, very happy here, whose family are settled here, who wants to stay, and he's been here a long time and gave a long service and he wants another contract, you know, a couple of years ago, there's a lot of people who, you just cut him off. But there's an argument to say, look, does the manager want him? I know he can do a job for me. I give him a couple of years and take him up to 30 and see how he gets on. I don't really necessarily think there's anything wrong with it. Obviously, you don't extend it to every single player. Just keep players about the place, thinking the place up.
Because Celtic are bad at that.
They are bad at that. But at the same time, if a player can contribute, then there's no harm in keeping them about. Folks, we have an announcement. Our final flagship podcast of the season is going to be our first ever live show. Friday, the 20th of May. Drygate in Glasgow. Come join us as we celebrate Celtic regaining the title, an evening of Celtic chat with your three favourite podcasters. There's a link below, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to podcast, link below to get your tickets, and we'll see you there.
Bring your inflatable kangaroos, folks. I insist upon it.
I've bought an Australia kit.
Not
a full kit, because that's, you know, weird and I'm too old for that.
But I've got the away one.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because it's green.
Yeah.
I've got the yellow home one. I was going to get Ange on the back, number one. Just because I'm mine. I'm going to get my court cat. No, it's going to be fun. It's our first ever night. It's our first ever live podcast. It's going to be some laugh. Melly's looking forward to it.
Oh, aye. Tickets are flying off the shelf.
They are flying out. The tickets are selling, which we are pleased by, because whenever you do these things, Stephen, you never know if anyone's going to turn up.
If you would, that would be absolutely great. Thank you very much.
Speaking of which, Stephen, speaking of additions, we weren't speaking of additions, but I don't know how to segue. I don't know how to segue that to the next thing. Mark Lowell joined Celtic. There you go, smooth.
Yeah. Absolutely smooth as an eel there.
There yeah. It's that sort of thing you can expect at the live show,
except with 100% more fear in our voices as well.
You can see the beads of sweat. You get a good seat.
Yeah, Mark Lowell has joined Celtic controversially. Now there's always going to be a big reaction to
something
like this.
Head of recruitment and scouting.
There's always going to be a big reaction to something like this because he has a, let's put it, emotionally evocative surname, right?
Yes.
Putting it kindly, that seems to have taken precedence over whether he's actually worth employing or not, right? And I get that, because we're not all that far away from Peter Lowell being the enemy of the Celtic fan base for quite some time there. And there's always a bit of a kind of jobs for the boys aroma around Celtic, as it's, you know, I'm putting that kindly as well. So I get that people aren't going to necessarily react to this with the greatest of enthusiasm. But I would say that Ange has been public about the fact that he wants to work with him, has worked with him in the past, works well with him, knows, you know, he knows what Ange wants in a player, he knows what he wants in his style. And I just won't entertain any idea that he's been foisted upon Ange because, you know, he's a yes man for the board and all that. I know that was the stuff last season. I just won't accept it.
It's just going to keep recurring, isn't it?
Won't accept that. That's total garbage. If you know anything about Ange Postecoglou, that shouldn't even be a consideration. He is a guy who, you have to look at the individual, not the surname. He's a guy who's worked for Man City and broadly the City Group. We're not employing him from Curry's or something like that. Stepek. There's a reference for the
Glenn Hutchison, Robertson and Stepek. Area media manager.
He might have worked there in the past, but his most recent employment at least has been with the City Group in Man City. And that is some pedigree. Whatever you think of plastic clubs, blah, 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 they are a well-oiled football machine.
He's worked
there
for nearly 10 years.
Yeah. And he...
In a very similar role, it has to be said, head of scouting for City Football Group, scouting recruitment, almost the exact same job title, handily.
Yeah, and people are always, as I said, people are always suspicious of this kind of thing. But again, I'm trying to zoom out and look at what that connection, you know, unspoken or otherwise, has actually done for Celtic. The recruitment we've had through Man City has been almost to a man excellent.
Near Beaton.
Patrick Roberts, Dedrick Boyata.
And Ncham.
Ncham. Gudetti, Denier, we've had loads of good players from them. So I don't have a problem with it, but I do understand the hesitancy in getting fully behind it.
It's that name and everything and everything that goes along with it, Melly. But had he not had the CV that he's got, you could even flip it around the other way and go, had he not been Peter Lowell's son, he probably wouldn't have left City to join Celtic. Yeah. There would be, if he was just some Dutch guy that had this job at City or anyone, I don't know why I chose Dutch there, but... There'd be no connection, no reason for him to leave that job at City and come to Celtic.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've always maintained that if Celtic are going to be a bit like Man City, be like them as much as you can be. And this guy, like, his CV and everything he's done, it's the exact type of guy we want. Celtic have gone a year without somebody in this position. That's ridiculous. We've done so well to get to this position where we are, where we've managed to get the players Ange wants. But if we can better that, and I've no doubt that maybe we took recommendations off this guy. So if he's going to come in and do what he does at Man City in the City Group for Celtic, good.
Yeah.
If it is Peter Law's son, then so be it. I don't think he's going to be phoning his dad, like, Dad, I'm going to sign this guy. And
what's going to happen is his dad will phone him go, here, I just read in the Daily Record that you're going to bid for this guy. You're sticking in 3 million. Aye, he's worth 3 million. 2.1. 2.1 million. And then kid on that you're, and then switch your phone off. You sure, Dad? Yes, that's how we negotiate. That's the LOL way, son.
That's the way. Yeah. So I think it's a decent appointment by the looks of it. He's got everything we've been needing in that. And I get why people are sceptical, because it is Peter Law's son. But as you said, would he have come without that? And
the challenge I suppose he faces is, as you said, in the last season, the recruitment's been really good without him.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in. If next season recruitment is not very good, people are immediately going to go, well, wait a minute, it was good when Ange was just operating on his own, then you come in and it's not as good.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I've said it multiple times, I think Stephen said it as well. Man City and Liverpool rarely sign flops. Mm. They rarely sign guys that don't come in and make an impact, because they've got a style of play and they go out and get players to fit that style of play. Celtic managed to do that so far. If they can get a guy who's been at City and has seen players all over, and look, we brought guys from the Japanese League where the City Group work as well.
Yep.
So we've seen that. And again, it's this conundrum of this Peter Lawwell thing hanging over. Yeah. So Celtic, Peter Lawwell and Celtic don't give managers their own staff. Ange came in and didn't get his own staff. Now he's got a guy who he used to work with, but it's Peter Lawwell's son. So can he get his own staff? And now he's getting somebody he wants to work with. Bobby, it's Peter Lawwell's son, so you can't have him either. Where does it end?
The thing that's going to reek a wee bit is we're probably going to end up with Dermot Desmond's son and Peter Lawwell's son, like some sort of weird dynasty.
Gordon Strachan's son,
like some sort of weird family dynasty operating as a football club.
Because they've always worked really well at Celtic before, family dynasties of many generations. Woolworths.
He's just naming bus shops there.
More defunct retail giants.
That's very weird. Speaking of not letting go of the past, there's been a growing groundswell of opinion that I just don't get on board with at all, Melly, that some Celtic fans want Scott Brown back to hand over the league title to Callum McGregor. Now, Scott Brown, who retired just this week, and he says he's going to pursue a career in management, so it'll be interesting to see if he pitches up a Hibs or whatever. Undoubtedly a Celtic legend. I think we discussed it when he left the club. Undoubtedly a Celtic legend. Undoubtedly a Scottish football legend. But I don't want him there, like overshadowing what Callum McGregor's there to do. I don't want any sort of, we just dredge up the past, and no disrespect to Scott Brown, but just stay away. I think Scott Brown would feel the same. Yeah. And I see Stephen nodding in the corner of my eye there. Just stay away, let Callum McGregor do it, let him have his moment.
Yeah, I've not been.
Crucially, let the guy for Cinch that hands over the trophy that absolutely nobody knows who he is. It better be Riley.
You want Riley, and you don't want Scott Brown.
Yeah, some guy in a suit, some area manager in a suit from Cinch just handed over the title. It was always perplexed me that, aye, to be honest, there's always some guy for the Royal Bank. Do you remember? I'm off on a tangent.
Howard.
Thanks. Do you remember had Howard for the Halifax?
What advice from you would be about mortgages?
Anyway, Melly, yeah, Scott Brown handing the trophy over to Callum McGregor, I don't know.
I suppose, like, because Scott Brown left at the end of last season, we didn't get a goodbye of any sort because nobody was in the stadium, so maybe there's something in that. But I think Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, everybody will just want this to be Callum McGregor's, and I don't know if it's part of whatever Cinch do or part of the contract that you get to pick who it is. So I'm with you. Like, if Scott Brown can get some sort of goodbye at some point, I'd be all for that. But this is Callum McGregor and Ange Postecoglou's Celtic. Scott Brown, for being a legend, he left. That this is nothing to do with him. So this is a fresh start for Celtic. So I want to see Callum McGregor with a trophy. And it'd be a bit weird because there'd be Callum McGregor having the trophy with all these new players, this new era for Celtic, and then Scott Brown in some photos running away. It would just be a bit strange.
Yeah, I think Melly sort of hit the nail on the head there, Stephen. It's like, this is the turning of a page. It's a brand new era, and that's what this league title should really represent.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not a criticism of Scott Brown or of anyone who would like that. It's a firm no for me. I don't think it's appropriate at all. I think Scott Brown, you're right, had nothing to do with this season. See, quite aside from that, aside from my feelings on it, Yeah, I totally agree that to take anything away from Callum McGregor or Postecoglou and have any focus on Scott Brown being involved in this title would be completely inappropriate. But we need to remember, Scott Brown's a pretty serious guy. He's a pretty serious football guy. Is he going to want involved in something like that?
Like a mascot, turn up like a mascot.
Get wheeled out for a goodbye and all that. The guy's a total professional. He's not going to want anything to do with that. You could have both. You could have Callum McGregor and Angie's day and the rest of the squad and coaching staff's day on that. And you could have Scott Brown involved in anything going forward. It doesn't have to be this week we get him back to do something. You could have him unfurl the flag next season for lack of... Yeah, but I don't want him part of that at all. I just it doesn't sit right at all. Like, Scott Brown has had plenty of those himself. This is Callum McGregor's day, and Scott Brown shouldn't be there. It'd be like, doing something weird, like having like Alex Ferguson doing stuff for Man United. They're not successful anymore, but you know what I mean. If they, for whatever reason, won the league, just bring Alex Ferguson back to overshadow it all. That's the kind of figure Scott Brown is these days.
Yeah, because he's so big and well-rounded. I see, like, obviously there's been a lot of press about Scott Brown retiring. The BBC put up a wee montage of pictures on the Facebook. The BBC had an absolute normal one this week. I don't know if anybody noticed. So on the montage of their Facebook of Scott Brown pictures, inexplicably had a picture of Ryan Kent punching Scott Brown. Well, he didn't land a punch on him, obviously. There was that. The BBC have changed the icon to their own national broadcaster podcast to a picture of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst cheering.
There's no graphics on it, and there's no title, there's no BBC Sports Sound. It's just a picture of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Bizarre. And then on their news story about Celtic winning the league, they had a picture of the Bodo Glimt fans cheering. This all happened over the course of the weekend that Celtic won the league. I don't believe for a minute it's an accident. I don't believe it's some sort of glitch in the matrix.
Was it somebody's last week in the job or something like that? And just,
somebody's just fuming.
Running amok.
Somebody's absolutely fuming about it. There's no way it's an accident.
I subscribe to it. I'm kind of on the verge of chucking it at Sports Sound right enough because they don't do any of the things I used to like.
They've chucked it mostly.
The thing in the Monday night where they used to just get these old guys into a show at each other, like Craig Levine and Tom English and Michael Stewart and Daryl, what's his face?
I think Michael Stewart might have ruined that for everyone.
I think so. Them all just arguing with each other on the Monday night. I used to quite enjoy that because now you like a bam up, you like a right annoying listen from time to time. They've stopped doing that, but I'm still subscribed at the moment. And I saw that icon come up in my subscribe podcast and I was like, That's odd, right? But it was just after they'd got that result, so I thought, right, fine, maybe this is a thing they do. But then the podcast titled, whatever it was, Celtic Fire 4 Past Hearts, and it was still a picture of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I'm like,
it's not an accident. Either some guy's changed that and changed the password, so on his last day people can't change it or whatever. Certainly not podcast professionals like us. And listen, if you want to come and see 3 podcast professionals live in the flesh, then help yourself to some tickets. We would love to see you there as we celebrate Celtic winning league. But look, that's where we're going to end this episode of 20 Minute Tims. Thank you so much for watching and listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.